What is up, you amazing listeners and viewers tuning in from whichever platform you love to get your podcast from? I'm your host, Chronic, from the Cannabis Chronicles on all major streaming platforms, as well as the host of this wonderful show, Tuesdays with TCK, brought to us by TMB Naturals, Visionary Hydroponics, Atlas Seed. Sorry, I stumbled there. Atlas Seed and the Autoflower Review. Normally, I am in their getup and I have everything on, and you guys and gals can see that it is a completely different space. And it has been several weeks since I posted this show. So definitely hit that like button, comment down below any questions you have about where I've been, which I will be telling you. And subscribe and follow along to show the sponsors some major love for putting up with me during the time of moving and all the, in between episodes. From here on out, there will be very consistent weekly episodes. My setup is back. My PC is back. Our internet's all good. So it has been a wild ride. Now, for those wondering, today's episode is going to be on cannabis from dispensaries, PGRs, and cannabis hypermesis syndrome. So we're going to be talking everything under the sun that I've talked about in past videos, but we're going to kind of combine it into one video, and I'm going to do a little bit of a rant on it because I've had some people at my job, as well as some fellow friends and clients of mine, that I've just asked about it recently. And I want to give a big shout out to one of the podcast listeners, Chuck. Thank you so much for coming out and actually getting a tattoo by me on 420. That was insanely cool. So for those of you who don't know, I do tattoo. If you ever wanted to collect a piece, just go check out my social medias. This 420 was super cool, and I hope all of you had a wonderful 420, and I'm sorry I didn't put out a video. I did end up getting to tattoo one of the podcast listeners, so that was really, really unique and such a rad time. So without further ado, breaking into this episode, I just want to say thank you to my sponsors personally, because I have been absent the last few weeks from moving. For those wondering, I am in a new space. I have stuff on the floor. I've got to put up all the foam. I've got to get my space actually situated, and I've got a lot of work to do ahead of me. However, my computer is set up. I am good to go finally on podcasting, and the camera angle is a little different, but I actually like this angle. I'm going to adjust it as time goes on and get it a little better, but for right now it works well. For those who have been listening the last few episodes, I've talked about moving with cannabis and, you know, getting different garden things, just different beginner topics. Today is going to be more of a kind of hypothesis, as well as something I've noticed. So let's talk about cannabis from dispensaries. Before we break into PGRs, for those who don't know what PGRs are, which I'm going to actually have to look up the acronym, the non-acronym, because I actually forgot what it means. Okay, I was right. I was going to say the one wrong word, but I pretty much knew what it was. Okay. So now that I have my little note pulled up, before we talk about PGRs, before we talk about cannabis hypermesis syndrome, before we talk about any of that, let's talk about everything from dispensaries in 2024. Dispensaries are in a very weird place. Okay, so state by state, they're very different. Obviously, every state's going to have their own laws. They're going to allow certain PPMs of heavy metals or contaminants and things like that through. Okay, so that is a fact. States like Colorado, states like California have, I think it's like 250 to 550 ppm of a give and take wiggle room that you're allowed to have, basically heavy metals or traces of not so good stuff in solvent based extracts or plant matter and things like that. Now, why does this matter, and why am I talking about cannabis products from dispensaries particularly? Because it is unremarkably hard in this day and age to find cannabis from a dispensary that is not filled with PGRs and that is actually grown properly. Now, why does this matter? Well, PGRs are plant growth regulators. I was gonna say plant growth hormones, but then I realized there's an R word in there, and yeah, regulators makes sense. So basically, what they are is essentially injecting hormones like a GMO or something like that. In layman's terms, it would be like a GMO to food. You know, so these plant growth regulators are direct hormones to punch the density up, punch the frostiness up. But with doing that, there's pretty much zero terpenes and medical benefits within these products. And we're noticing the long-term effects from studies. This is actual factual studies. The long-term effects of consuming cannabis with that leads to cannabis hypermesis syndrome. So now what is cannabis hypermesis syndrome? Cannabis hypermesis syndrome used to only affect, years ago, it used to affect less than 1% of the population. Now it affects over 12% of the population, up to 25% of the population. So this is a very insane sensitivity to, and when I say insane sensitivity, a very, 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 like, crazy sensitivity to THC. Your body goes into kind of a shock. You start vomiting, and the vomiting can last anywhere from 24 to 48 hours, and you sometimes have to be hospitalized. Can it be deadly? Well, vomiting that prolonged time can absolutely, you can get dehydrated and all sorts of things, so that's why sometimes you have to be hospitalized. What is my theory? Well, I've done a whole podcast episode just on cannabis hypermesis syndrome and how it relates to the hops cultivation and how hops and beer with pesticides and all that has made me feel sick. And I, not that I smoke dispensary weed, but basically for those who didn't listen to that episode, hops and cannabis have similar genetics in a sense where sometimes they can share diseases. Cannabis almost killed the entire hops in North America, so that was crazy a few years back. The hops latent virus can spread to both cannabis and hops, so that's what happened basically. But that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. Cannabis hypermesis syndrome and how does hops relate to what I'm talking about? Well, I've had a very severe sensitivity in the last 5 to 10 years. Probably at 5 to 6 years, sorry. With drinking beer, and it's mainly large corporation beers, even sometimes smaller local beers and breweries, depending on what kind of hops they're using. I get very sick from it. Could be one beer, half a beer, a sip of a beer. I just get very sickly from it. Throw up, you know, that kind of thing. So I started doing research, and I realized there's not really a oversight on how much pesticides that they're actually allowed to spray on hops, give or take, because it's being brewed or fermented, and so there's no real care for the byproducts that are within the actual plant matter. And if there is a ppm level that is a legal amount, it is more high than what it should be, right? And I believe, just like cannabis, from spraying all these pesticides on hops, beer has become kind of like more poisonous than it already was to my body and those who are sensitive to it. How I made that kind of like theory or theorized with evidence was the fact that I can drink clear liquors like vodka or anything from distilled from a potato, things that are pesticide free generally, or gluten free like meads when I make my own mead, and I'll be perfectly fine. No sickness whatsoever. Now, same thing with cannabis. When I grow my own cannabis, or I know for a fact that it was organically grown, you know, and I can purchase it and see and all that fun stuff, I never have issues. Whenever I smoke PGR stuff, I get headaches. It never affects me. It smokes like shit. It may have a good taste, but that's about all. So, and the long-term effects are you're actually causing these chemicals that are in this thing to be in your system, and the chances of you causing yourself to have a cannabis hypermesis syndrome increases. So with many of these cannabis hypermesis syndrome cases, most of the people, if not all of them, talk about or are documented having stated that they purchased dispensary bud and then are prolonged smokers of dispensary bud, chains particularly. This comes from them spraying heavy metals, pesticides, all sorts of things to kill PM, mites, aphids. The things that dispensaries lie and don't tell the general public would astound most of you. So how do I feel about Colorado dispensaries just in the Denver location and, you know, kind of within about 100 miles outward? They're very few and far between that I actually really enjoy their herb. You'll almost never catch me buying herb from a dispensary. Unless I can tell that it's organically grown and they've got like some good deal and I'm just like in a pinch for herb, you'll pretty much never. I grow my own plants that are always 10 times better than anything I'm getting in a dispensary. And that's a big, not to go, oh, hey, go guys, go get Atlas seeds and start growing yourself. But if you're on the board about growing and whether you should be growing, dispensary product will never compete with your own homegrown. I suggest going and checking out Atlas Seed, use the Autoflower Review discounts and get some seeds and get started, right? Autoflowers are super, super chill to grow, very simple, and we have lots of videos and podcasts and stuff to help. Now, why do I always preach grow, 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 grow? Well, it is because almost everything, okay, it's not just herb anymore. It used to kind of just be herb, and then the concentrates were really fire, and the edibles were really good, and the edibles would kick in. Well, now they're finding that damn near 90% of the edibles in most dispensaries across California and Colorado and some of the other major states don't even have decarboxylated cannabis used in them, whether it be rosin, oil, whatever it's you have. A lot of people don't know this. Just because you use dabs does not mean it is ingestible. You have to decarboxylate your rosin before you use it in an edible. Nug Smasher actually has a wonderful video on this, on how to decarboxylate with using rosin for edibles, and they have a little decarboxylation chamber actually for their rosin. So, a lot of dispensaries don't do that. They don't decarboxylate the herb. They're not isolating proper terpenes. They're not activating the THCA to turn it to THC, because that's what you have to do. You have to heat the THCA molecule to a certain degree to literally transform that molecule to tetrahydrocannabinol. So, the activated, like with losing the A particle, or that's the science shit that is kind of a little above my head. But I do know that that is the fact. That is what happens. So without decarboxylated cannabis, you're just eating something that tastes like cannabis that does nothing. You get some medical benefits maybe from the terpenes, but you're not getting high, you're not getting the effects, nothing. So edibles are a hit and miss. I would say there's specific brands that I would only mess with. Kief Cola's a really trusted brand as far as drinkables. They're pretty solid. They're not bad. They have a 500 milligram for med users. One thing I can't stand about Colorado is that they keep limiting the milligram and percentage and how much we're allowed to have. So we used to be able to have 1,000 milligram drinkables on the med side. Now they've cut it back to 500 milligrams. That affects me because usually 500 doesn't do much. I'll have to drink two of them, that kind of thing. It's like, all right, now I'm paying double the price for what I used to pay for 1,000. So it kind of sucks. Luckily, edibles are still up to 1,000 to 2,000 milligrams a pack, so that's not terrible. But again, the state of everything. Does it hit as hard as when I make my own edibles at home? No. Even if I go buy RSO, like let's say we purchase RSO from a dispensary, my fiance goes and makes brownies with it. Those brownies will always affect me body-wise and like actually a high more than 95 to 99% of the edibles in a dispensary. Now, the only things that I like from dispensaries that are hard to make would be your very random or, specific things, distillates, syrups, those types of things where they are activated, you've tried them before, they do work. Those things are great, and I like snagging those. The only thing I really buy from dispensaries is concentrate because I don't have my garden up and going to be pressing and doing my own stuff. However, once I'm up and running again, I'm trying to get completely off the dispensary, use solventless based rosin pressing, and just do all of my own stuff. Rosin always hits 10 times harder than anything else. And with zombie hash, where you cut down your plant, freeze it for 24 hours, and then the shake it, you're pretty much getting 40 to 50% more cannabinoids than you would be doing, if you cut down the plant and dried and harvested and all that fun stuff. But the state of just everything across the board, tinctures, herb, concentrate. I mean, just time and time again, I hear multiple people, it doesn't really hit that hard. I stopped getting my med card because the med side doesn't even have anything more potent. And it's the truth. The rec stuff for concentrate is the same potency as the med side. It's just dumb. It is unbelievably dumb. The only reason I pay for a med card is my plant limit at this point, to just basically help my own pain in my own house. It's quite crazy. And you know, this leads to my rant about this is why you should grow your own. You want to know why? Because there is not a single pro to smoking cannabis or any product that is a high PPM byproduct with heavy metals or anything that could lead to cannabis hyperemesis syndrome. There's not a single pro to it. There's a list of cons. There's a list of cons from buying from dispensaries. Sometimes there's pros here and there, depending, give or take what you're trying to argue. But you know what? I could name about a dozen pros of growing your own cannabis. It's all organic. You know where all your stuff comes from. When you dry and harvest, you can then take your product and you can make whatever you want with it. You can get a magical butter machine and literally have that machine make you a tincture or make you RSO or make, you know, do edibles or decarboxylate your cannabis. Like all of that fun stuff. Get yourself a nug smasher. Start pressing your own rosin. Now you have your own rosin and tincture and edibles. And then, you know, I as far as learning how to make all the distillates and syrups and things like that, there's tons of videos on YouTube. Syrup's actually really not that hard to make. It just is time consuming and it takes kind of a little bit of a, it's more of a nuisance of a monotonous task kind of thing. It's kind of like bubble hash, to be real. So all of these things you have options of doing, and the product is always going to be 10 times better. So I always vouch for people to do it. It's a literal no-brainer for you to grow your own and do your own stuff. It just makes zero sense to not. It makes zero sense to not grow your own product because, all in all, cannabis and dispensaries is really just half-assed in this day and age. It's very, very few and far between do you find growers or people who really do care and have due diligence behind their products and really care about it. I'm not saying that it doesn't exist. I'm not saying it's not out there. And I'm not saying that newer states don't have better markets. I'm talking more so the Colorado market, the California market. You know, these are the two states that I know the most. I live in Colorado, so it's the state that I know the best. The market sucks here right now. It's absolutely bananas. It is wild. More and more people are going to black market and their homies selling them bud because it's better. It just all around is better. I mean, one of our friends came back with some stuff from out of state that was from a dispensary out of state, and it was so much tastier, so much better. THC percentage was on the lower scale of things, but guess what? The cannabinoids were all there, and that shit hit harder than anything that we have here. So it's frustrating when the state of the market is that way. So that's kind of my little spiel for today. So I guess how I'll end this is, do your due diligence to support your local growers, support your local places that are doing the good thing. Do the due diligence of supporting your brands that do support growers and learn how to cultivate. If you're on the edge of it, just jump in. You don't have to go balls to the wall and spend a bunch of money. I have multiple videos showcasing how you can get started for $200 and getting one plant going in a little 2x2x4 and getting your feet wet with growing cannabis and seeing how you actually will most likely enjoy it. It'll probably be something that you really thoroughly like and all that fun stuff. So, without further ado, I think everybody should grow plants. I think everybody should learn how to make their own. I think dispensaries need to be checked. I think a lot of the market needs to change, and I think people need to start caring about what type of medical products and what kind of herb they're making. I think there needs to be more laws around on how much shit you can spray on a plant that people are consuming. That's pretty insane to me. But yeah, that's just my little spiel for today. So I hope you all enjoyed. Be sure to hit that like button if you did. Comment down below any questions, or if you have a hot take on this entire topic, comment down below. Let me know what your hot take is. Be sure to subscribe and follow along from whichever platform you're tuning in from so you can show the sponsors of the show some major love. And that's Atlas Seed, The Autoflower Review, TMB Naturals, and Visionary Hydroponics. So definitely check all of them out. And I'm Chronic from the Cannabis Chronicles on all major streaming platforms. And I'll be back every single Tuesday, not Wednesday. I know it's on a Wednesday today, but every Tuesday, I'll be back to do Tuesdays with TCK. So without further ado, much love, happy growing, and peace, everyone.